Black girls are disciplined more harshly than their white peers, according to the National Women's Law Center, for things like dress code violations and hairstyles. This leads to more suspensions, increasing the school-to-confinement pipeline. Representative Ayanna Pressley, a Democrat representing Massachusetts, is reintroducing a bill that seeks to end the disproportionate punishment of girls of color in schools. Congresswoman Pressley joins us now. Welcome to Here and Now.
Hello. Good to be with you.
Yes, so you first presented this bill in 2019. It aims to end the school-to-confinement pipeline, which disproportionately impacts girls of color starting as early as preschool. How does this play out in schools across the country?
Well, first, let me just say this. We find ourselves in this moment of reckoning on racial injustice, and we have to be active in the dismantling of systems of oppression. And that needs to include the discriminatory policies which criminalize adolescent behavior and disproportionately impact girls of color. This is more than a matter of inequity. It's a crisis in and of itself, which is why I introduced the Ending Push Out Act in order to establish these trauma-informed policies in our schools and to create an ecosystem where our girls can heal and they can thrive. Our schools have got to be places and spaces for learning and growth. But for too many Black and brown girls, interactions with racist dress code policies, hair policies, law enforcement in our schools has really defined their experience. You know, even during the pandemic, we have still seen horrific instances of Black girls being brutalized. And we've even seen virtually that the behavior of Black and brown girls is still being criminalized.
Yeah, you were actually inspired to reintroduce this after ProPublica's report on a Black teenage girl in Michigan who was incarcerated for not doing her homework during this pandemic. Can you explain more how this pandemic and distance learning more broadly has actually worsened this issue that we're talking about?
Sure. The pandemic has only exposed how disconnected schools are from their most vulnerable students. And it's just highlighted the extent to which Black girls are policed in their learning environments, even when they aren't attending in-person school full time. So in Michigan last year, as you were alluding to, a 15-year-old Black girl named Grace, she was incarcerated for not completing her homework and getting up late for online school. Now, thankfully, we were ultimately able to see her released, but her story is part of a larger pattern of the criminalizing of Black girls for minor misbehavior at school. So just a little bit about what the bill would do: would provide resources for counseling, mental health programs, trauma-informed care programs that are necessary to prevent push-out and then to heal the social, emotional wounds of push-out.
You brought up policies like dress codes. These types of policies are often foundational to school discipline policies. Your bill includes $2.5 billion in grant funding to schools that remove disciplinary policies for dress code and grooming violations. You know, one might argue, though, well, if dress code violations are off the table, how do we instill order? Have school districts weighed in on some of your ideas?
So what brought me to this issue, other than my own lived experience, you know, I'm a Black woman, but I was a Black girl, you know, so I certainly have had my own experiences. But what brought me to this and the recognition of just how systemic these disparities are is when a pair of girls in Malden, Massachusetts, received detention and suspensions for violating the school dress code related to their hair extensions. And so in response to that, I convened evidence-based focus groups with 100 girls. And my thought partner in that work was Dr. Monique Morris from the National Black Women's Justice Institute and the author of Push Out. So we gathered these 100 girls across all school models, private, parochial, charter, and we heard their stories. And the overall drumbeat was the same: feelings of unworthiness, being stereotyped, experiences of being silenced and shamed. And so those stories became the foundation for my Ending Push Out Act. But more directly, what happened is that we engaged also educators and anyone in the learning community that has an interaction with Black and brown girls. And then we produced a report to get them to recognize that these policies that on their face appear to be gender and race neutral are actually having a disparate impact. In fact, late last year, the Appleseed Network, they released a report that Black girls in Massachusetts are nearly four times more likely to face school discipline than white girls.
Representative Presley, I want to talk about the through line here and what we're dealing with in our current moment with this recent spate of killings by police. The country is following the Derek Chauvin trial, as well as the case of 13-year-old Adam Toledo out of Chicago. As you've just explained, the criminalization of people of color often starts in school when these young Black men and women are kids. What will your bill do to disrupt this cycle?
I want to underscore that what you just said there, when they are kids. See, with Adam Toledo, it's probably the example that comes most immediately to mind. She had another demonstration of how kids of color are adultified. So not only criminalized, but adultified. And the convergence of those two things has resulted in dire consequences. It has resulted in loss of life. It has resulted in trauma. It has resulted in a growing school to confinement pathway. When it comes to Black girls, more Black girls are just as involved than ever before. We have an unprecedented number of women who are incarcerated. And so the End Push Out Act, in that it will incentivize schools, plus with the data component, to end these discriminatory discipline practices, which are disrupting the education of Black girls and contributing to the school to confinement pathway. So I think the first thing is that it's with the data, it's shining a light to prompt those corrections and those reforms in real time. And then the fact that the bill does provide the necessary, sort of using the power of the purse, resourcing through these federal grants to support states and schools that will commit to banning unfair and discriminatory discipline practices. Again, that it protects the civil rights data collection. It strengthens the Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights, which is really critical. And then it establishes a federal interagency task force to end the school push-out crisis and its impact on girls of color.
And listening to you over the last few months, you've been calling for trauma-informed policies that replaces these systems of harm with systems that center justice and healing, as you say. But you also acknowledge that there's not one piece of legislation that will actually undo centuries of hurt. And I'm thinking about these efforts that you're up against, like Georgia Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene's America First Caucus. In this context, we're not talking about lawmakers with different focus areas. We're talking about a completely different outlook on the state of the
That's
country.
right.
In this effort to reach across the aisle on these important issues, like gun control legislation, for instance, how do you reconcile this? How do you find common ground for the good of all Americans?
We're really at an inflection point. And, what I seek to do in that work of legislating to disrupt and to interrupt those systems of oppression, which have caused great hurt and harm that were legislated, is just to center the humanity and the dignity of all people and to be responsive to their needs. Whether we're talking about an infrastructure bill, gun reform, lowering the cost of prescription drugs, voting rights, or combating police brutality and dismantling mass incarceration. And that is why I keep returning to the prophetic words of Reverend Barber, that if we are truly in a moment of reckoning, where if you grow up in the church, then that is something of epic biblical proportion. What will our response be that is commensurate to that reckoning? It must be a reconstruction. And that's the phase that we're entering into right now. So, yes, we absolutely need to pass the George Floyd Justice and Policing Bill and voting rights and the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act and many more. This is not a one-and-done situation. We have to undo centuries of hurt and harm that were legislated, that have been codified in statutes. So this is going to take a multi-legislative approach, and it is going to take political will and courage.
That's Congresswoman Ayanna Presley, a Democrat representing Massachusetts. As always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tanya.